And welcome back on KODY, 1240 AM at 106.1 FM. It's Tristan Winder, the news director and program director. Please sit down now with Senator Mike Hilger, Speaker of the Nebraska Legislature. And Speaker Hilger, sure appreciate the time, sir.
Hey, Tristan, great to be with you. Thanks for the invitation.
Now, for those that haven't heard about you before, sir, this is your first go being Speaker of the Nebraska Legislature, being elected by your peers to serve after Speaker Scheer reached his term limit last year.
Yeah, that's right. Speaker Scheer was the only speaker that I knew. He's actually one of two recent Norfolk-based speakers. He was speaker for 4 years. He was term limited out, and I was fortunate enough to be elected at the beginning of this year, the first speaker from Lincoln in almost 40 years.
Now, Speaker Hilgers, for those that haven't heard before, give us a little bit of background on yourself, sir, leading to you to decide to run in the Nebraska unicameral.
Yeah, thanks, Tristan. So I've a little bit about me. I'm born and raised in Nebraska. Middle of five kids. I lived out of state for college, met my wife down in Texas, recruited her back here. I got four little kids, all under the age of 10, three little girls and a boy. And I'm an attorney by training. I started my own law practice in the basement of my home 11 years ago. I've grown that to now we got almost 60 lawyers coast to coast, actually. Most of them are, or a majority of them are here in Lincoln. And so we've recruited families to Nebraska. I ran because I've got a business and I've got little kids, and I've been really invested in the success of our state. I ran for legislature a few years ago. I was fortunate enough to win. I've been serving now. I just completed my fifth session, and as I mentioned before, my first as speaker.
Now, Speaker Hilgers, very exciting news with the redistricting process coming to its conclusion, and boy, that took a lot of time for you and your colleagues down at the state capitol.
It really did, Tristan. I'll tell you, because of the unique circumstances of this year, the vast majority of states have not completed redistricting. We're actually the third state, only the third to have completed it, and we're very fortunate to get it done. Normally, we have 90 working days, almost five full months, to do redistricting in a normal year, because what normally happens is the Census Bureau gives us their data, say, by January. And we have until June to get that done. And then after that, the election commissioner, secretary of state, and the election officials have months to do their work, to get the precincts drawn, to do the local political subdivisions like city council districts, county commissioner districts. So normally that's in almost a 10-month process. This year, we didn't get the data until mid-August, and it wasn't data that could be used by the legislature until the end of August. So the legislature, from start to finish, instead of almost 6 months, only had about 4 weeks to get all of that work done in a very compressed, difficult timeline. But I'm very pleased to say that we did get it done. We were, election commissioners asked us to get it done by October 1, and we adjourned sine die on September 30th.
Big progress there being made, and a big part to all the state senators that made it possible, but especially the redistricting committee. Can you tell us about the individuals that served on the committee and the work that they had to do, Speaker Hilgers?
Well, they earn their money. They earn their $12,000 a year this last month. So there are nine members of the committee. They're chosen by the executive board of the legislature. And by rule, there's very few things in the legislature that takes into account partisan affiliation, party affiliation. But this is one of those things. By rule, five Republicans and four Democrats are chosen for the committee. So the chair of the committee was chosen earlier this year in January. That was Senator Lou Ann Linehan, who's also chair of the Revenue Committee in Omaha. She was joined by a number of great senators. The Republicans on the committee were Senator Brewer, Senator Geist, Senator Lowe out in the Kearney area, and Senator Breezy out representing Albion. And then the Democrats were Senator Wayne out of Omaha. He was the vice chair, Senator Moorfield out of Lincoln, Senator Lathrop and Senator Blood. So those are the nine members of the committee who really did work overtime over the course of the month of September to be able to get this done.
A lot of maps were thrown out there, too, and a lot of different proposals. But tell us a little bit about the one that we settled on, Speaker Hilgers.
Well, ultimately, so there were a number. And that actually, given the timing, it was very difficult to be able to consider a lot of proposals. And I'll tell you, Tristan, and your listeners, it's not something that maybe you think about because we don't go around in our day-to-day business and day-to-day lives and go draw maps for fun. Drawing even one map for the legislature, as an example, can take up to 15 hours just to be able to physically go and use very specialized software to be able to draw the line. Very difficult to do. And we're doing it there's a lot of different legal requirements for us to be able to draw those maps.
Sure.
For instance, you have to have the population of districts to be pretty close to one another. We are constitutionally it's recommended, it's not formally required, but the Constitution tells us we have to try to keep counties whole where at all possible. Mm-hmm. So you have to draw, it's very difficult and complex to do. So we actually didn't have lots of different maps. There were a few different ones. There were, the redistricting committee had a Republican proposal from Senator Linehan and a Democratic proposal from Senator Wayne. Both of those were discussed in committee, kicked out, and ultimately they were merged together into one final map, a legislative map and a congressional map. And by the way, in addition to those two, which took the most time, there are four other maps that we also drew. And ultimately, but those are the ones that ultimately got passed.
Speaker of the Nebraska Legislature, Senator Mike Hillinger, is joining us here on KODY, recapping the redistricting process that came to its conclusion a few weeks ago. And Speaker Hillinger, I think the big headline statewide was what was going to happen with the 3rd Congressional District. We knew it was going to take on some population or take on some territory. It was just a question of how and where that was going to happen. And that's very newsworthy, too, especially when it comes to presidential elections down in the eastern end of the state.
No, that's right, and you know, Senator Congressman Smith. I just promoted him quickly. Congressman Smith, you know, he's got an incredibly difficult job to cover that much territory, and unfortunately, given the population, the way the population growth was, and for Congress, we actually have to have those congressional districts basically match population. So you can't really be far off in your deviation. Unfortunately, he took on some more territory. Now, the good news is we were able to keep a congressional district. There was some concern a year ago we wouldn't be able to. But unfortunately for Congressman Smith, he did take on more. And he doesn't get paid by the county. So he's got more work to do. But he does a great job, and he's got a great team. In Omaha, that's the one, you know, there's a lot of talk about the blue dot and whether or not that would be one that, you know, presidential elections, as you know, we're only one of two states that do our electoral votes by congressional district. And so most of the heat and light of the debate really was focused on what would happen with congressional district 2, which is the one that encompasses Douglas County and part of Sarpy County. And there was a big fight over whether or not Douglas County should be split and actually have two congressmen represent that area. That was in the initial proposal from Senator Linehan. We actually, that proposal went to cloture, meaning there was a filibuster, and there was not sufficient votes to overcome the filibuster. And so that proposal failed. And ultimately what happened was Douglas County remained whole. Western portion of Sarpy County, near where Congressman Bacon lives, was in the district. And then Saunders County, which traditionally has been in the first district, represented by Congressman Fortenberry, now is in the second district. And so that was kind of the compromise that ultimately individuals landed on that kept Douglas County whole, but also made it a strong district for the next 10 years.
More locally, Speaker Hillinger, there was some big shifts for our listening area. Senator Groney's jurisdiction and the area that Senator Brewer represents primarily had some change-ups, as did Senator Williams' area over throughout the Dawson County region.
Yeah, you know, Senator Groney's district, Lincoln County, I mean, the important thing was to keep it whole. Unfortunately, it lost a little population. And as I mentioned, the legal requirements are that we have to add some. So we did, but very pleased that at the end of the day, District 42, which is the North Platte, Senator Groney's district, Lincoln County, really was able to keep its core. That's important. Secondly, for Senator Brewer, he's got, you know, I think his district is almost was the size of New Jersey beforehand.
Wow.
I mean, it's incredibly large. One notable thing for Senator Brewer was that he, Custer County, went back into District 43. That has been his traditional home. Before redistricting in 2010, Custer County was in District 43. It was split off into District 36, Senator Williams' district, in 2011, and now, but it was rejoined back into District 43. So that's a pretty significant shift. And then last, Senator Williams' district did move to Sarpy County, and there were a number of us, myself included, who did not want to see any district west of Kearney move. There are only 6 senators prior to that move representing almost half the landmass of the state, and we didn't want to see any move. On the other hand, there were a number of senators who thought there should be more than one that would move from out west, maybe 2, and I even had heard some senators say maybe 3 would be justified given the population shift from west to east. And so ultimately, Senator Williams' seat was moved to western Sarpy County, and so only one was moved, which on the one hand, is a loss because we want to make sure that Western Nebraska has as many senators as we possibly can have. On the other hand, it represented partially a compromise because there were other senators who wanted to have two or more move. So ultimately, that District 36 is now, Senator Williams now actually technically represents individuals in Western Sarpy. Of course, people in the Gothenburg area, Cozad area, are going to continue to call, I'm sure, Senator Williams for help down in the legislature in unicameral.
It's extremely difficult being a Nebraska State Senator, Speaker Hilgers, as you know better than I or our listeners, but almost a little more challenging when you're a Western Nebraska Senator. Some of your colleagues and yourself have the advantage of having a shorter commute than what somebody like Senator Brewer may have or Senator Erdman.
Well, there's no doubt about it, and I will tell you, it's a real issue. You know, I live in Lincoln. I'm fortunate enough to live close to the Capitol. I'm one of only maybe four or five senators who has young children. Very few senators have school-age kids, and I think I'm one of only two that have young children in their own business. Then that's enough of a challenge, but at least I'm fortunate enough to go home in my own bed at night, and I can commute in, and it only takes 10 minutes. For Western senators, there's multiple problems. One problem is the one you mentioned, Tristan, which is traveling in to Lincoln is an incredible hardship. It's very difficult for people who have employment to be in the legislature at all, but it's even more difficult if you work, say, in North Platte or Scotts Bluff, for instance, or Alliance, and you got to come in and leave that place of employment. You can't easily go back. That's a real issue. The other issue, though, is out west is the districts tend to be a lot larger. In Lincoln, I actually have a decent amount of rural territory, but it's all within one county. We just talked about Senator Williams' district, Senator Brewer's district, the size of New Jersey, or Senator Groney's district, multiple counties. Those are large areas, Senator Hughes, where it's very difficult to be able to get around and see everyone the same way. And so there were some proposals, Tristan, that I supported with then Speaker Scheer, and actually came up during the special session, about the idea of increasing the number of senators, in particular out west, which would have a couple of advantages, one of which would be shrinking some of the territory and each individual senator would have to cover. But we need talented people. We need really talented people out west. And I'll say structurally, given what the legislature pays, given the distance or the requirement that it puts on people to be away from their family, away from their businesses, replace of employment, and the time it takes to be able to travel so many of those different counties to be able to see people and represent your constituents, it's a real structural problem and one that I think we ought to look at trying to fix.
Now, Speaker Hilgers, you did bring up a minute ago the conversation that was had a little bit during the special session of the possibility of adding a senator to the Nebraska unicameral. Obviously, that's been put on the back burner right now, but is that something that you and your colleagues may explore adding again in the near future?
I think there will be discussion on it. So the way it's interesting, I think everyone knows that we have 49 senators in the legislature, but we are actually constitutionally authorized to have 50. So it is possible, if by statute, the legislature could decide to have just add one more senator. And that's actually what was discussed in the special session. Senator Coulterman brought a bill to do just that, just to authorize one more senator to give it an even 50. Now, that actually causes some issues with tie breaking. It's nice to have an odd number so you don't get into tie situations. But the bigger issue that Speaker Scheer talked about was a constitutional amendment. And this is something he brought last year when he was still in the body, which would have raised the constitutional authorized number from 50 to 55. So that actually, when he brought it, did not get much traction, in part because redistricting was far off, I think, in a lot of people's minds.
Sure.
Having gone through this process recently, I think a lot of people understand the value of having a conversation about that, the potential value of increasing the numbers. And so I supported that concept when Speaker Scheer brought it. It was outside of the scope of the call this time around, so it wasn't something we really could do in this special session. But I would like to think that someone will bring it in January. I think we ought to have a real robust conversation about it because this number was set decades ago, and we have population growth and we have population shift, and I think it's important to make sure Nebraskans are represented, and that's something we ought to look at, and I hope we do.
And Speaker Hilgers, just for the sake of conversation, if we did increase to, say, 50 state senators and there was a tie deadlock to 25 apiece, the tiebreaker goes to the lieutenant governor. Is that accurate?
Yep, that is right.
Okay.
That's exactly right, constitutionally. And I'm not aware of any actual instance, maybe one historically that the clerk can remember where that's actually happened in the past. But if we're at 50, Tristan, to your point, that actually could happen far more frequently.
Speaker Hilgers, anything else you'd like to add today, sir?
No, hey, Tristan, I really appreciate you having me on. I appreciate people's interest. It's a hard process. It's difficult, and I'm glad we only do it once every 10 years. I will say this. Once the governor signed it into law last Thursday, the very next day, the new districts were operative. And so I know people are used to contacting their state senators, which they should. People they're used to contacting, Senator Groney's case, that really hasn't changed much. But people should also be aware that districts have changed, especially for those districts where there are open elections next year. Mm-hmm. There are a number of those, including, say, for instance, the Scotts Bluff area or down near Venango. And so the District 44, those are places where people can run. And so pay very close attention to those lines because they were operative as of Friday.
And for folks that may be wanting to see those visually or find out who their state senator is now or who has the jurisdiction in their neighboring county or district, whatever it might be, the legislature's website has that all updated now too, right?
They do, and there's actually a really useful, whenever I need to find a senator for a particular area, I just Google Nebraska Find Your State Senator. And there's actually a Google map that the legislature has that has overlaid a color-coded district lines. And so you can zoom in and zoom out and type in addresses and see precisely down to the block exactly who represents what area. And that's what I use. It's an incredibly valuable tool. And I did double-check, Tristan, before we had this interview, and that is online and live and accurate.
Awesome. Well, Speaker Hilgers, it was a pleasure to meet you, sir. Look forward to talking again in the near future.
Hey, likewise, Tristan. Thanks so much for the time.